Alternative Energy Committee and what we've been doing. This committee started in 2008, and among its four charters, one of them was to work with the town staff and other town committees on the exploration of alternative energy resources, including but not limited to the continuation of the exploration and development of wind energy at Ragged Mountain. So we took that seriously, and in fact in 2006, other folks in town began to look at Ragged Mountain, ended up putting a Met Tower up there at no cost to the town, thanks to the University of Massachusetts. And it turns out that we measured wind from July of 2008 to, I think it was October of 2009, and it looks like we have extraordinary wind speeds up there. It feels to our committee that we owe it to the town of Camden and perhaps other towns to begin to explore the possibilities of wind on Ragged Mountain. Nobody in our committee is committed to anything. We are certainly only in an exploration mode at this point. Not long ago, we hired the Island Institute, George Baker and Suzanne, and her group spent a little bit of money through the town select board to have George's group look at what kind of a structure could bring wind energy to this community and other communities. This was after listening to two or three developers that came in and talked to our committee and discussed the possibilities of what it would look like on top of Ragged Mountain for them to come in, capitalize the project, and then sell the power. And basically, Camden and possibly other towns would be left with a lease payment. That didn't feel right to us. It felt like for us to look at the possibility of Ragged Mountain being a development site, an iconic site like that that many of us know and love, we as a community are going to have to understand and feel the electrons coming from that development. We're going to need to be a part of it in every way, shape, and form. And so the message to George Baker and his group was, can you deliver a system, a structure to us that allows that to happen, allows the communities to buy into a project like this? And is there a structure out there that's both legal and economic, and we can make that happen? Our committee meets the first Monday of every month. We meet at 5:30. It's been public meetings from the start. It continues to be a public meeting. On June the 15th, George Baker's group will present to the town select board. If you have an interest in Ragged Mountain and what could happen there, please come. This is all very preliminary. All we know is that we think we may have a structure that the town or towns could look at and entertain to see if there's a next step. Quite honestly, the Camden Energy Committee would love to make the next step not be them, but have the town, if it has the will, or towns, plural, if they have the will, to take this project to the next step, which is going to require some money and some organizational skills, and we're going to see what happens. So that's kind of where we are. We're right at the cusp of hearing for the first time what that structure might look like. Got a couple of review meetings with Suzanne and her group, so we have a sense of where we're headed, and the town will hear it for the first time on the 15th. So join us if you will.
Scott Dickerson. I guess if I read this correctly, and I know we're really glossing over the crest of the waves, if I can use that metaphor, what's the point of doing any wind generation projects on land? Why wouldn't we invest all of our capital in going offshore right away, as fast as we can develop this technology, if it in fact has the extreme minimal impacts that you're projecting here? Now, we know there's more to this because we know there's fishing conflicts and things like that at play out here. But let's say for a moment that the impacts are genuinely less offshore. Why aren't we making our capital investment to go to that technology, which is much larger and has apparently much less impact?
I mean, let me take an early step and then you can follow up if you don't mind. Because our company's been looking for money all around the world. We're looking for investors, and everybody is looking for renewable energy solutions right now, and yet when it comes time to put money down on technology that still hasn't been tried and tested, it's difficult. So here we are, our first project, we're building in Portugal of all places. Seems like an odd place, but they had the aptitude and the interest and the money to put a project up. So you know, I think all of this is in the future, Scott. I think we've got to pay attention to what's in front of us right now, whether it's on land or inshore. I do think deep water is coming, but it's not here right now. It's going to take government, in my opinion, to really step forward and put up real money to make the early investments to prove the case. The government so far is beginning to be willing to do that, but hasn't really put up the big money yet.
Habib, you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I agree with that. Let me back up a little bit. You know, like all the solutions that we look for, we just discovered globally the importance of deep water floating wind turbines. And then that realization across the globe is happening faster and faster every day. And governments across the world are starting to invest in large amounts of that money. Japan is a University of Tokyo, for example, right, and has a major program for floating offshore wind. China is looking at floating offshore wind in a large manner as well right now. So I think it's going to be a global race to figure out how to crack that particular nut. Land-based wind is here now. The technology has been out there since 20 years, so it's easy to go to that solution right now. So we've evolved that way historically, but the future, in my opinion, would be a future, if we're all right and our predictions are correct, that the floating offshore wind will replace it in the long run those other options. The other thing we need to look at is not just wind, but we need to look at all the options we have in front of us. Solar, for example. We need to look at some of the hydro capacities and others. So I see the future as a mosaic of solutions. And where offshore wind, floating offshore wind, at least for Maine, is the biggest part of that mosaic.